deceived me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and
hello, listeners. This is the Out of This World radio program with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington on 1150 AM. The program focuses on Out of This World information, including psychic phenomena, metaphysics, UFOs, and predictions in the coming years in the Seattle area and beyond. We will have only the best psychics and astrologers in the world on our program, and I guarantee it will be the most interesting radio program you've ever listened to, as you will hear information here that you will simply not hear elsewhere. Today, we're very fortunate and grateful to have as our guest, Lori Toy, coming to us live by telephone from Arizona. She'll be talking about some possible Earth changes happening in the coming decades, and we will go to her very shortly. In the meantime, I would like to, before we begin, I'd like to thank the many sponsors of our show, including my dear friend Carol, who's been helping design my website, providing crucial moral support, and without whose key friendship and help, this program would not have been possible. My dear friend Ann Nelson, a business professor at Walla Walla Community College, who's also been extremely supportive and helpful. And, of course, my angelic and earthly family and a whole bunch of different businesses in the Seattle area, the Quest Bookstore, the Leading Edge Bookstore, the Vajra Crystal Book and Gem Store in Seattle. Wonderful places to visit. Our upcoming guests include Michael Horn, a week from today. He's a U.S. representative of the Swiss group involving Billy Meyer, who's been in contact with the Pleiadian civilization for the last 60 years. The Pleiadians are 28,000 years ahead of us technologically and 8,000 years ahead of us spiritually. They're humans just like they look like us, but they're much more advanced, and he'll be talking about their predictions for the future. On April 4th, we'll be very happy, very grateful, and honored to have Dr. Helen Caldicott, MD. She's one of the most famous medical doctors in the world who's spoken out on the dangers of the Fukushima nuclear accident. As part of that program, I also have invited the governors of Washington, Oregon, California, Alaska, and Hawaii to come in on the program to explain to the public what they're doing to protect the citizens of their various states, including this one, as well as to ask any questions they may have of Dr. Caldicott. I've also asked for a response from the Prime Minister of Japan for his input on the matter as well, since his country is where the Fukushima disaster is located. For more information on these and other guests, please see our website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. Let's take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back on the air with Lori Toy.
Hello, listeners. This is Ted Marr, the host of the Out of This World radio program, and I'd like to tell you about Mr. John Ho. He's considered one of the best scholars in Nostradamus and has an amazing track record of predicting all the winners of the U.S. presidential election with 100% accuracy for the past 44 years, as well as being able to accurately predict the weather patterns and political, social, and economic events both in this country and around the world. Every year, Mr. Ho publishes his predictions book, and we are very fortunate to have him now tell us about his latest publication, including his predictions for 2013 and 2014, including the Hopi Indian prophecies. John, could you please tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be interested in Nostradamus?
I have always been fascinated with the patterns of history, more fascinated like a doctor is about the patterns of disease, try to cure the problem. One sees in the past a continuing repetition of the same mistakes in different costumes and different political and religious persuasions in different cultures, but essentially it seems the more we change, the more we stay the same. And there seems to be a critical mass of these collective habits reaching a singularity in the next few decades, where if humanity does not break out of this cycle of repetition, the civilization is threatened. So my books, which are 23 and counting right now since 1987, published in 19 languages, deal often with futurology and the more subjective science of prophecy, the traditions around the world, of which the most important of these prophetic figures is Nostradamus, which is one of my, what I'm best known for on History Channel and television, as well as in my book.
Fascinating. John, where can people obtain the copy?
Well, this book is called Predictions for 2013-2014 because it is essentially a look at a period of time between May of this year, 2013, till the end of 2014, which is literally a breath of fresh air of reform can happen to limit the impact of quickening history, which is going to begin in the next 10 years to be some of the most upheavalful and disruptive and revolutionary periods that human history has ever known. And so we are in a period right now, and this book describes it in all the dimensions, from politics to religion to economy to global warming, ecology, and human consciousness, that looks at forecasts dealing with how we can lessen the blow of these quickening times that are coming in the mid-decade, or even avert and speed up the possibility of what is also often promised in the future as a more balanced human race, a more enlightened human race living in the golden age.
Fascinating. Well, I think your book is on point, and especially right now at this time in history. And listeners, I strongly recommend everyone to obtain a copy of this publication. It's nearly 500 pages long, and it contains so much information that we really can't do justice to it in this short commercial. I purchased a copy myself, and I think it's one of the best prophecy publications that I've ever read. For only $12.50, you can have a copy of the full work, or for only $3.99, you can obtain the shortened version.
For more information, please visit my website at outofthisworld1150.wix.com/outofthisworld.
Proud to bring variety to your radio dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hello, listeners. We're back on the air. This is KKNW, 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington. By the way, friends, if you haven't been outside, please go outside. It's a beautiful blue sky. The clouds are out. And from this tall skyscraper, there is a beautiful view of Puget Sound in Seattle. I'd like to introduce everyone to Lori Toy. Lori, hi. Good afternoon. How are you today?
Good afternoon. Hi, Ted. It's a pleasure to join you on your show.
Well, I'm so glad you're here. And I just want to read a little bit about Lori's background, then we can go into your talk. As a young mother and farm wife, Lori led a conventional life in the Northwest. Weren't you? You were living in Sequim at the time, weren't you?
I was.
Uh huh. Beautiful place. Beautiful place. More than 20 years ago, she was totally unprepared and surprised when spiritual teachers appeared, including Saint Germain, I believe?
Yes, Saint Germain.
Saint Germain. And they contacted her and told her of certain things that they thought could be happening in the future. Now, I underline could, because I don't believe the future is written in stone, and some of these things are pretty sobering. But I'll let Lori tell a little bit about that. She continues to be in contact with these master angelic teachers, including Saint Germain. And I think what she has to say is very profound, very important, and has lessons for all of us. Most importantly, she says the messages are sent with love and wisdom available to all from all of us, from the beings that guide and watch over us constantly in the angelic realm. Like Lori, I'm not a doom and gloomer. I think that the future of mankind is very bright, but there are some things that we'll certainly have to prepare for. And Lori, please tell my audience a little bit about yourself and how you got interested in this area.
Well, I was just a young girl of 22 years old, and I mm-hmm. was working up in the Sequim area, local weekly newspaper there, an advertising associate, and I was called to go pick up an ad.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to a health food store to get this ad and opened the door. And upon opening the door, the owner of the store stood at her counter, pointed her finger at me and said, "You have work to do for Master Saint Germain." And like many listeners out there, I didn't know who Saint Germain was. And so that was my first question. I said, "Well, who is Saint Germain?" And she said, "Well, I'd like to show you his picture." And so I was intrigued. And I followed her to her back office, and then on the wall was this picture of this man obviously from not this time. It was 18th century. I found out later on it was a portrait that had been drawn when he was during the French Revolution. And as it turns out, that Saint Germain was an ascended master. And I didn't even know what an ascended master was either. So I asked her. And she said that they are a group of beings who oversee this world. And they were at one time just like ordinary people like you and me, but they have mastered their thoughts, their feelings, their actions. And they have risen to a new level. That is, they freed themselves from the wheel of karma. They no longer have to reincarnate. So therefore, then they are pledged to help us as humans to grow, to learn, to evolve, and to inevitably liberate, spiritually liberate, and also become free. Well, that really captivated me. And so I said, can you give me more information? And so she said, of course, and she gave me a brochure on the Ascended Masters at that time. And I then became a student of these teachings, and she became my first teacher of the Ascended Master tradition.
Fascinating, fascinating. Now, you've published since that time, Saint Germain and the other Ascended Masters have given you indications of what the world might look like in the coming decades after a possible Earth shift.
That came about, Ted, a few years later. Mm-hmm. I, of course, married and then had children. I was married to a farmer. Mm-hmm. And we relocated to the family farm, which was in north central Idaho, left the beautiful Pacific Northwest coast area anyway. We're still, of course, in the Northwest. Mm-hmm. And then I began to have a dream, a vision-like dream. And in this vision-like dream, the master came to me, four beings in white robes, and they presented a map of the United States. Mm-hmm. But it was not your typical map. It was a map that showed drastic changes to the coastlines of the United States. And, of course, at that time I was a young mother, had a lot going on, you know, just with raising the kids. And I wasn't really prepared, you know, to share such a drastic message. But I had been attending a meditation class at the time, and I talked to a friend about it, and she said, well, you know, these types of changes have long been prophesied and predicted. And she said, but it's also prophesied that after we go through these changes, that there'll be a new time on Earth, a golden age. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of the uplifting aspect of the dream. And so I kind of thought, well, you know, just, you know, something that's happened, you know, part of my spiritual growth and development. Well, 5 years after that, I had gone through a pretty painful divorce and was attending again, another meditation class just to deal with stress, and had mentioned about this very unusual vision-like dream to a friend. And he said, you know, Lori, I would just love to see if we could get more information about the map. He was a student of Edgar Cayce, and you know, Edgar Cayce had a very profound body of Earth Changes material. Mm-hmm. And I was also a pretty avid meditator, and a lot of times when I was in meditation, I could see master teachers, which later on I found out that that's very unusual. That's not normal.
Sure.
But he said, well, how about if I come over in the early morning and just see if I could ask them why you are in meditation? I said, okay, I'll give this a try. So we met in the early morning hours, and he purchased a little handheld tape recorder, and I would go into a meditative state, and when I would see one of these master teachers, he would begin, I kind of signaled to him, and he would begin to ask questions. Well, what this turned out to become, Ted, is that I became a clairaudient trans channel. I didn't even realize it at the time that that's what I was doing, but mm-hmm. I would literally lay down on the couch and fall asleep in like this trance-like state, which is what is kind of known as the Edgar Cayce tradition or the Seth tradition. It's a different type of channeling than sitting in front of a keyboard and doing automatic writing. And in the beginning, it was very tedious, and it was there were a lot of lapses on the tape. But as time went on, we would get instruction from the teachers on how to improve these states of consciousness so we could receive more information and more guidance from them. Well, the four beings in white robes appeared again, and they then began to relay all the information of this map that they had shown me in this dream 5 years ago. And Saint Germain facilitated most of the information. And Saint Germain today is kind of known as the great brother of humanity. And as an ascended master, he is the sponsor of what is known as the violet flame, or it's a, the best way to understand the violet flame is it's a form of bhakti yoga, which is the Western tradition of compassion, mercy, and forgiveness, which he alleges, if we apply and use this as a spiritual practice, helps to liberate our karmas. So he's a sponsor of that, but he's also a sponsor of this material, of the I'm America map. Mm-hmm. And I believe that they gave this information way ahead of time so that we could begin to make changes now, so that perhaps we wouldn't have to see the worst of these changes. And that's not to sugarcoat the information, but like you, I'm not a doomsayer.
Right.
And I always feel that within our heart is a gentle revolution that can redirect these types of events.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Lori, but I have to tell you, since you've been on the microphone, this entire studio is bathed in white light. It's like the angels are here and they're just coming through you, through this microphone, like liquid sunshine. It's very beautiful. And what's your, I can feel your angelic presence throughout the studio. Everything's turned white. Oh, it was kind of dark in here and now that's all gone.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Now you get a little extra charge of energy.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, to all those listening out there, please tune in and feel free to have some liquid sunshine yourself. You know, there's so many questions that I'd like to ask you. I guess one of the first things is, and I think we know the answer to this, but I wanted to ask you on air. Do you think the Earth is a living entity in and of itself?
Oh yeah, and you know, there's a lot of different ways that we can look at Mother, mm-hmm. and that's how, of course, I've been taught. You know, throughout the years, and I've been studying these teachings now for nearly 30 years. We see the Earth. In fact, the master teachers of this tradition call her beloved Baba Jaron, mm-hmm. which means the grandmother rejoicing. They see her as not only as a mother, but as a grandmother. So she's the mother of all of us. She's the mother of all of life. And she is seen to be a very evolved being who can hold that level of consciousness. The spiritual teachers also say that the earth changes, or this huge shift that beloved mother is going through at this time, is helping us all to grow spiritually and in schoolroom earth, and that through this whole process, she's actually assisting us and helping us.
One of the things I think it'd be helpful to realize as listeners are listening in what Lori has to say is that I think we're all here on a spiritual growth, on a series of spiritual, this is like a spiritual school here on the planet Earth. And as we evolve, the whole purpose of these Earth changes perhaps is to shake us, to wake us up so that we're not committing the same mistakes of war and violence that we've done for so many centuries. I'm not asking this question, Lori, as a doom and gloomer, but the kind of Earth changes that Saint Germain showed you in the future, would the Earth, for example, tilt on its axis by so many degrees with the resulting?
Oh yeah, they were very extreme prophecies. It's a very extreme story. Now yeah. I'll go through a little bit of the map with you, but really before I do this, I want to preface this. These changes have long been prophesied. There have been many people who've talked about them.
Sure.
So I really think that the I'm America map, even though it was the first Earth Changes map that was out in a huge visual display, this is nothing new,
mm-hmm.
at all.
Sure.
It's something that all cultures, from indigenous cultures to Eastern cultures to even somewhat in the book Revelations, they've all talked about, you know, the new Earth that is coming. earth changes themselves, I think that when the spiritual teachers gave this information, they had to start there. They had to give this map in order for us to understand sort of a point, in a reference point in time, time to us here in 3D. But I really feel that what they gave us, more than anything, is the spiritual reason why we must change, what we could inevitably be facing, and what we must do to ameliorate or transform this situation. And so I think that was really the reason for their presence to give the map. Now back to the map.
Okay, yeah.
Seattle's completely underwater. They showed the Cascade Range of mountains as a series of islands.
Mm-hmm.
Mount Shasta becomes a peninsula,
mm-hmm,
of land. And they showed most of California was underwater with the exception of the Sierra Madres, which becomes a large island. The United States nearly splits in half because of the Mississippi and the Missouri rivers flooding. And so a lot of eastern Texas is underwater. And, of course, also New Orleans, Louisiana, that area is all underwater. Now, they did talk about a lot of climate change alongside the great earth changes. And they said that in the Northeast that it would get unseasonably cold and that it would be covered with ice, a lot of that area.
Which is happening from this winter. They had a terrific winter.
Yes, and that they would get a lot of wind,
mm-hmm,
and very, very high winds on the East Coast that would break up some of the East Coast. The East Coast is a little more stable than the West Coast, according to what their knowledge is. They said that Florida, that the tip of Florida would sink, literally.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about polar shifts. They said that there would be three of them. And the final resting polar shift is almost a 45-degree angle from present day, but that was present day back then, so we'd have to look at magnetic today. And
my goodness.
Yeah, it was right off of Baffin Island.
Wow. Well,
yeah.
There were news reports. I haven't heard them recently, but last year, the last couple of years, Lori, where the magnetic pole of the planet, both on the North Pole and South Pole, have been shifting. And the Russians have noted it, that it was moving like 40 miles a day, the magnetic pole. And
it moves all the time anymore. Now, some people theorize this is Nibiru,
mm-hmm,
coming in closer. You've probably heard about that prophecy.
Sure, sure.
There's just so much we don't know, we don't understand. Some things that the spiritual teacher said, because, of course, this was such a drastic message. Mm-hmm. And so we said, well, what should we look for? Can you give us an idea of the things we should look for? And they said, well, first off, they talked about the possibility of an asteroid or meteor hitting somewhere in the Nevada desert. They said that we'd get a warning ahead of time, mm-hmm, from the scientific community that it's heading towards our Earth. And so there have been several times that we've had asteroids coming towards the Earth, and for some reason the trajectory changes just a little bit and it doesn't happen.
Well, I think, forgive me for interrupting, Lori, but I think a lot of it depends upon, too, our own individual personal choices.
I do, too.
You know, people out there listening will maybe say something like, well, what can I do as an individual? How can I possibly affect a good change in the planet, in society? Well, the Pleiadians, who are a very advanced human extraterrestrial civilization, have said that a lot of it depends upon our own personal choices. And they themselves have said that the planet's tired of people who are into violence and control and service to self, very selfish individuals. Those individuals will not make it through this process. But those, on the other hand, who are service to others, who can learn to get along and foster an atmosphere of love and cooperation among other people, those folks will survive.
They'll make it through this transition.
Correct.
As we enter into the new time.
Correct. And I have some psychic abilities myself nowadays, and I'm able to, with the help of my spirit guides, if I know a person well enough, I can usually tell on the spot whether they'll actually survive the shift or not.
Yeah, come through sort of this darkness that, mm-hmm, we all must face.
Mm-hmm.
The master teachers describe it kind of in some way as sort of our shadow side.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to deal with that. And that involves the transmuting of our own personal karma. So it's all interconnected, personally, individually, and collectively. The other thing that they talked about, I found this really interesting, is they said before there were any types of earth changes at all, the drastic ones. Now, remember, I've outlined the most drastic ones,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, I don't think we will see in our generation.
Good.
But they said that there were two things that we needed to always watch. The first thing is the United States economy and the global economy.
Mm-hmm.
And they said also alongside global warming. And they said those two events will become precursors for the Great Change.
Oh, interesting. Are they?
And we've been seeing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is what's happening. And it's almost as if that we're now being asked to bring a new level of consciousness and conscience.
Mm-hmm.
As well as transparency now to all of our systems so that they can become not only transparent but also sustainable. And I think that the sustainability is something that we will address at every level, not only our personal relationships but also into our economies, into social systems, into our culture.
Yep.
And it's just something that is very important. That needs to happen for the environment.
On that note, Lori, if the planet is a living entity, what do you think Mother Earth thinks about the daily 300 to 450 tons of highly radioactive water being dumped into the Pacific at Fukushima currently by the Japanese government?
Well, it's so obvious, and I did hear you're having Dr. Helen Caldicott on, and I followed her work with great interest.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she's amazing, number one.
Mm-hmm.
But number two, I think she's telling us the truth,
mm-hmm.
and we need to hear the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are just certain forces and powers right now that excuse me just a second.
Oh, sure. Lori? Okay, well, for those who'd like to call in, by the way, a little later, our phone number here is area code 425-373-5527, or toll-free within Western Washington. The number is 800-298-5569. Let's take a short commercial break, and we'll come back with Lori in about 2 minutes. Thank you for listening, friends. Hello, friends. My name's Ted Marr. I'm the radio show host of the Out of This World radio program. We focus in on psychic phenomenon and metaphysics. We have in a studio today one of the best astrologers and tarot readers in the Seattle area, Karen Winland. Karen, how did you become interested in this field?
Because I'm a control freak, like most of us. I need to know what's going on in life. And so tarot and astrology just answer those questions for us. Tarot is a present tense oracle. It talks about what's going on in life right now. And astrology looks at the big picture and says, am I headed the way I want to be? Am I being who I want to be?
Karen, how do people get a hold of you if they'd like a reading?
Show up at East West Bookshop every Friday. Or you can email me at Karen@SeattleAstrologer.com. Again, you can reach me at East West Bookshop every Friday or at Karen@SeattleAstrologer.com.
Thanks, Karen.
Get current weather, traffic, and news. Visit 1150kknw.com and stay informed with Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Hello, friends. We're back on the air. You're listening to Out of This World with your host, Ted Marr, on KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington. For those who'd like to call in, our phone numbers here are 425-373-5527 or toll-free within Western Washington at 1-800-298-5569. We're very grateful to have Lori Torrey on the program today. We're talking about possible earth changes, that the information she gained from St. Germain and other ascended masters. One thing I'd really like to ask you is these Earth changes. Certainly they're happening now. We know they're here. We know more are coming. Two quick questions. As I remember seeing the map of Washington after the most worst Earth change, and the water would not only stop the Cascades, it'd also go inland. Almost to Spokane.
Yeah, and I don't talk about this that often, but in the original prophecies, they talked about kind of an earthquake area, one of the points at Ellensburg, and traveled on down, I think, near to Tri-City.
Oh, wow.
And at one time I had a lot of geologists who would attend my lectures in my early years of being out there with the material, and they talked a lot about how Washington State and Oregon are formed out of sort of its ledge of basalt,
mm-hmm.
and that basalt is very vulnerable to earthquake movement, and that there are a lot of tunnels in the basalt, and there's a lot of water underneath Washington and Oregon as a result of sort of these basalt tunnels.
Mm.
So it makes it a little more vulnerable.
Interesting.
Geologically.
The other thing I wanted to mention is after the Earth changes are finished, and we have we're starting anew after these tremendous changes have happened. What kind of cities you mentioned in your materials that there's golden cities that'll be
constructed? Yeah, the golden cities were a very profound part of the information alongside
mm-hmm.
the physical changes.
Mm-hmm.
The master teachers talked about these large expanses of land,
okay,
and that are known as golden city vortices, and the Golden City Vortex is a prophesied safe haven. That is an area of spiritual retreat where we can go to interact with the Earth as the Earth raises in energy and vibration to achieve our own spiritual initiation and to grow spiritually. That is, they initiate what the master teachers talked about is an ascension process. And, of course, this initiates this whole liberation process so that we can move our energy along to a higher level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And a teacher appears. They talked a lot about the golden cities and the process of how they actually help to physically raise our energy at third dimension. Then in Sisters of the Flame, which is my second book in this new trilogy I'm releasing, they talk about the cellular awakening and how these new energies, not only in golden cities, but all over the Earth right now, are actually helping to raise our bodies vibrationally so that we can deal not only with this great change that's coming, but also take advantage of it so that we can grow and evolve spiritually. The golden cities are based on a type of sacred geometry, is the best way to understand them. And they're very seminal to all of the teachings and understanding how they work. There's five of them in the United States. Now, I've got some prophecies where they say that they will be completely safe during the time of changes, and then I get other prophecies and teachings where they say, well, that they're more protected for spiritual purposes. So the way that I see it is that there are areas where we can go to help accelerate our spiritual development and growth at this time. But let's look at it this way, and you've stated this before, that as we spiritually grow and evolve and that energy vibration heightens, then these types of changes, of course, I think their probability evens out more and more as we can accept, move out of polarity and move more into what they call zero point or a neutral zone.
Lori, I have to ask you this question. Forgive me for interrupting, but for the benefit of our listeners, I've seen the maps. Lori was very kind to send me her maps of I Am America after the Earth changes, and the closest golden city it's in the panhandle of Idaho, Missoula, Dillon, Montana, in that area. Currently, it's all national forest, but that's one of them. It's a very beautiful, pristine area. I've been over there, but it's a very, very pretty area. And I know that there's several more throughout the United States. Do you remember the name of that city, Lori?
Yeah, that one is known as Shalaha.
Okay.
Really unusual names. They're sort of angelic names. Mm-hmm. They may be even in Owaspe, which is known to be the tongue of the angels.
Mm-hmm.
five of them. Shalaha is the closest one. It's some of it's in Idaho, most of it's over Montana. The center or apex, what they call the star, is located over Lolo Pass. And so what we have discovered with many of these Golden City vortices is they're over extremely rural areas. So it's possible they may be population centers of the future. I live in one here in the Southwest, which is known as Gobian, and it covers areas of Arizona and New Mexico. There is another one in Illinois and Indiana. It's known as Malton. There's another one in North Carolina and Georgia. It's known as Lahani. And then the final one in the United States, known as Clema, is located over Colorado, parts of Nebraska, and Kansas. But there's a master teacher who serves in each of these, and a ray force. And, of course, rays are kind of at the foundation of most ascended master teachings, but a ray is a light and sound quality, and sometimes they'll attribute certain colors with these. But in the Golden Cities, the best way to understand them, if you're kind of new to the material, they're like the New Jerusalem. They're like these crystalline cities that function at three dimensions. So they function at third dimension, but they also are filled with tons of fourth and fifth dimensional energy.
Fascinating.
Yeah, they're really fun to visit. And of course, we're just beginning to understand them. I've written three books about the Golden Cities, and I've got several more that will be coming out in the next couple of years. But they contain, like I said, sacred geometry, and, of course, the four directions, also what are known as ley lines, and special adage points that all have certain meanings. So they're different energies that we can tap into for spiritual growth and evolution at in this new time.
And just for the benefit of our listeners, is it a safe presumption to assume that that people in the coming decades after this shift and they're in the Golden Cities, that telepathy, seeing auras and remote viewing and seeing into the future will become commonplace?
Well, yes, and not only in Golden Cities, they just did it overall, that the humanity will, after the Great Change, now whether that is a geophysical change or we can grow and evolve spiritually, that we do shift in consciousness, they talk about the one, the unity consciousness, the one shift that we will all participate in. They call this principle Unana, and it's a unity consciousness, and it's where we function at a higher fourth dimensional level, and we are all somewhat united. That is, not only are we united as one mind, and we have this ability to have sympathetic resonance with other people, and of course all of the clair senses are fully developed, but we're also in touch with the nature kingdom of Earth. And that's really critical and important, because once we get in touch with those nature kingdoms, then we can start really moving ahead in terms of the healing of the Earth and hopefully moving our whole evolutionary process along collectively.
I think if we make the right choices, Laurie, we can actually create a literal heaven on Earth in this dimension, on this planet.
I think it's within us.
It is.
Babaji always said, you know, the Savior is within, reveal Him.
Absolutely.
It's really up to us.
Absolutely. 2 or 3 years ago, I'm in touch with my angelic guides, and they took me on a nice trip to heaven. And when I came back, I was in dream state. When I came back, I had this wonderful glow on me for several days. I didn't want to come back, frankly. It was much more pleasant up there. But the reason I'm saying that is because I think in the coming years, if we can keep up a good pace of spiritual growth and evolution, and I think it's going to come to all of us, we can create literally a heaven on earth. An existence that's devoid of the hatred, devoid of the selfishness, devoid of the lack of love that's present here, and we can literally create a place that's truly paradise.
It's, you know, it's so fascinating. And Sisters of the Flame, I think that was one of the questions that was asked in, you know, one of the sessions, and one of the responses that I find so fascinating, because of course this was 20 years ago when this question was asked, is and the master teachers returned with it, that it was time for the 99% to get empowered. And I think that's interesting because we keep on focusing on the 1%, and everything that they're doing is horrible.
Correct.
Well, what about we 99%?
Correct.
We
sure.
need to come together.
I agree. Totally. Absolutely, totally. I want to give out your website and mine for people interested in finding out more about Lori and her publications. Her website is www.loritoye, that's spelled L-O-R-I-T-O-Y-E.org. Or feel free to visit my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I'm sure, Lori, in the listeners' minds, people are out there wondering, well, like I want to go back to this earlier question I posed about what can each person do?
There's so much we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I believe the prayer can change everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so prayer and meditation and spiritual practice will make a difference. And when I say practice, I mean practice, something you do every day, something that is unique to you. You know, I'm not going to tell you how to pray. I'm not going to tell you how to meditate. It's different for everyone. But some sort of practice that you do, I think, helps change you, because we must change ourselves first. One of the major things that the master teachers talk about, they say if you live fear, you will create fear.
Mm-hmm.
But if you live love, you will create love.
Kara Winterlin is a good friend of mine. She's a wonderful Seattle psychic here, and she says that sometimes people either look at the world in terms of love or out of fear. And if you can look at the world in terms of love and be grateful for what you have rather than fearful of everything, you'll spiritually progress and have a much more fulfilling life.
I think so too. But you know, the other thing that I also have been recommending, just because we have seen an acceleration of global warming and climate change on the planet,
mm-hmm.
I really advocate for people to grow their own gardens. And actually, the master teachers talked about this some 15 years ago. They said that what it does is it reconnects us back to the Earth Mother and actually sends a healing vibration and energy to the Earth, you know, for us to reconnect. So, and it's also just self-sustainability, I think, is important in these times. So I advocate that. If people want to get into storing food, they can. They can also make donations to food banks as well. Both
mm-hmm.
of those will serve sort of the collective consciousness in some way.
Mm-hmm.
You can store heirloom seeds if you want to. Now, heirloom seeds are different than other seeds. These are seeds that haven't, you know, been GMO'd or are modified in any way whatsoever, and they carry the original genetic profile, you know, generation after generation, so you can grow that
mm-hmm.
that plant
mm-hmm.
and then use seed from that plant and store it again and again and again. I think that that's very important. We ask some questions, you know, real third-dimensional questions, like, you know, what about our economy, that kind of stuff, to the master teachers, and they said to get into tradable resources, that is metals, precious metals, land, things that are real, that you can touch
mm-hmm.
in terms of commodities. So there are some things that they do suggest to do, but really their spiritual techniques are the best. And like I said before, I think that some of the best material that they have talked about is how to connect to the presence, the I Am, which is the individualized presence of God, and how we can develop that rapport and work with that presence of God to actually bring more appreciation and love into our life.
Mm-hmm. Have the Ascended Masters given you any recent updates as to what might be possibly happening in this country and the world over the next couple of years?
Well, they've definitely given us updates time and again. Of course, I think I probably sent you the six-map scenario.
Correct.
Which is, so you have to understand how they see things. Okay, let's back up a little bit. When they talk about the changes, they talked about that when they give a prophecy, it's just a reference point. And so a reference point to them is a position in the landscape of the ever-present now where we can evaluate or weigh probability. So when they place a reference point, it's placed so that we can initiate a comparison between an actual event, a prophesied event, and then somewhat understand the possibility of their timing. So that's kind of how they look at things. So when they gave the six map scenario, they said that we are constantly creating our reality through conscious thought.
Mm-hmm.
And so they gave us six probabilities of what could possibly happen. And they said, you know, in some realities, there's no changes at all. We're already in the golden age, and things are perking along at this very harmonious level.
Wonderful.
In some realities, it's very difficult and it's very dire. And so they're kind of indicating there are like these parallel universes that we can leap between in terms of change and consciousness. So it really is about honing our consciousness and also tuning in to our own I Am presence and becoming empowered through that process.
It's interesting you say that, because both Nostradamus and the Pleiadians have also said the same thing, that the things that they forecasted and predicted for humanity's future, the bad things don't have to happen. Nothing's written in stone as far as calamities.
Is.
You know, a third world war, I don't believe that's inevitable at all. I know that there were some forces in this country and elsewhere pushing for a war with Syria last year. It just didn't happen because people were waking up and said, hey, there's a better way to solve this conflict without sticking our military once again into another conflict. You know, our military is in 130 different countries in the world, and we're spread thin, so thin. I think if you ask the average American, why are we in, you know, a certain country in Africa, we have no idea. We're just there.
Well, exactly. And this is the reason why I think our economy is not doing as well either, that we need to get our spending directed in the right place. But not to get too politically averted there.
Sure.
It was interesting because in Sisters of the Flame, there was a Pleiadian goddess who came in for several lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes by the name of Anaya. And these are her teachings on our changes. And she said that cataclysmic earth changes may occur if we do not realize our spiritual path of life and the spiritual way of being. They talk about being. That is, we carry within us the innate divine Godhead, and we must recognize that in order to be. She says that all is spirit, and as we move through matter, we must honor and respect us in all that we do, all that we see, and all that we are. She said that this is our current challenge, that we have forgotten the vastness of the source, and that God is indeed in everything and everyone.
I have to tell you, Lori, this studio is completely bathed in white light. You know, as you speak, it's like liquid sunshine once again coming through the microphone. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
No, it's a very profound, beautiful experience.
Another thing that was really interesting is, of course, because it was so dire, you know, when we received the information, and of course, we believed it literally, you know, when we first got it.
Sure.
And so we really, you know, packed up, you know, like 500 maps in the back of our little car and headed down to California on a speakers and authors tour. But as you know, working now with this material for well over 20 years, I realize now that it's very metaphoric and that it's also analogy. And that also just by the fact that we have talked about this, to me, is healing. And even when we take a look at these things, then we begin to look at what are the possible solutions for these types of catastrophic predictions or prophecies. And the master teachers would call that what's the divine intervention. And they see that divine intervention on Earth will occur in three ways. And this is sort of interesting. First, they see the golden cities, which we talked about, because they hold the potentiality for humanity to grow and evolve over a long, long period of time. That is, you know, through many different lifetimes. It may not happen just in one lifetime, although they say it can, you know, that it's possible. But also they talked about the Christ consciousness that we would all be realizing, or what they call unity consciousness. And then this was interesting, is that they talked about the birth of new, highly evolved souls who will come to Earth and actually raise the vibration of Earth.
Fantastic. You know, one of the things, I've been in touch with my angelic guides for the last 20 years, and one of the things that they tell me, it's the small things that count, not the really big things, but the small things. For example, you know, you approach a homeless person on the street, he asks you for a couple of dollars for a hamburger, either buy him a hamburger or give him a couple of dollars. And those random acts of kindness, let's say you thank somebody at a grocery store or a restaurant for good service. You know, you make their day. That little bit of kindness, those random acts of kindness can really make a big change in a person's life. And but we can improve our society in so many different ways, and they don't have to be big ways either. They really don't.
Well, I think it's about love.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
In the Young America teachings, they call this love and the one. And they say that love assists our spiritual evolution to know the
mm-hmm.
one.
Mm-hmm.
And here are kind of four steps that they shared about love and the one. They say that love opens our heart chakra.
Mm.
It opens our senses to the fourth dimension. It assists cellular awakening, which is the precursor to the ascension process. Love ushers in a spiritual awakening and cooperation. And so collective cooperation then has a positive effect on Earth.
Mm.
And this, of course, then affects the whole potential for any type of catastrophe we could be facing at any given time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I couldn't agree with you. Couldn't agree with you more, Lori. Absolutely. I think our future is very bright, and I think I wanted to bring Lori on today to give people an overview of the kinds of things that Saint Germain and the Ascended Masters have talked about for kind of any kind of possible Earth changes. But none of these changes are written in stone. They can be changed with good positive thought. Do you see anything else in the future, Lori, from your predictions?
Oh, there's so much. I mean, it can go in so many different directions. You know, they talked about the new times. Mm-hmm. And one thing is that they, here's some interesting stuff. They talk about how we would enter into time compaction. And this is an anomaly produced as we get closer to the time of change. And they say that our perception of time compresses, and then time will seem to kind of speed by. And then the unfolding of events accelerate and situations then are jammed into a short period of time. And then this experience of time, then as it contracts and all of a sudden it lets go and it starts to expand.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of go, whoa, what just happened? I just felt like I lived, you know, four or five lifetimes in that last 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they say this is because of the pressures that are happening now as the Earth is going through this shift. And I've often wondered, is that because Earth itself in the cosmos, they've talked about dark rift theory, that we're kind of altering our perception of time as we travel through dark rift. Another kind of really interesting, this is another interesting prophecy, is they talked about the appearance of the golden rain. Remember I mentioned that ray forces are kind of at the foundation of most ascended master teaching. But rays have to do with light and sound frequencies and how we perceive those. And, of course, sometimes different teachers will put colors assigned to the rays. But they say the golden ray will appear and that it raises humanity's and Earth's vibration and everyone's potential to open their channel or their psychic ability and connection to the I Am increases.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that in order to assist this whole process that a vegetarian diet does help, so that's one thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of interesting because I've never seen this anywhere else, but they say you can use citrus fruits and raw fruits are very, very good for the body as we go into the new time, so they kind of help the body to cleanse and allow a new energy frequency to come about.
Lori, we've got about 45 seconds left. Are there any parting thoughts you'd like to give our listeners?
Well, I think it's most important to understand that this information was given to us so we could make changes now. There is a direct relationship between consciousness, choice, and change. So as I said in the beginning, Master K.A. choices, you know, within your heart is a gentle revolution which can redirect the course of such events. And I think it is true that it's really up to us one person at a time. And we create the world we want to live in. There is that great Hopi saying that was out on the Internet some time ago. I think it's about 10 years ago. And they say, you are the one you are waiting for. And I believe we are.
Oh, absolutely. 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 Well, Lori, thank you so much for coming on today.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Ted. Thank you very much for having me on.
My pleasure. Hold on. I do want to talk to you after the program. I want to make a few announcements. I want to thank everyone for listening. You've been tuning in to Out of This World with your host, Ted Marr. I'm having an independent lab in the Midwest do some testing of the water samples along the Pacific Coast. Since neither our federal government and our state government considers the radiation coming from Fukushima to be any cause for concern, and then about the next 6 weeks, there's 10 times more radiation than that was dropped. All the bombs dropped since Hiroshima and Nagasaki coming to our shoreline, but yet no government agency is doing any testing. So I'm helping to organize a testing network. If you're interested in contributing to that, each test costs about $100 each. Please give me a call at 1-888-879-8339, or please visit our website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend, friends, and thank you again, Lori, for coming on the program, and may you all have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.